topic today is completeness. Have you ever seen anyone walk out of the barbershop with getting a butch on one side and not having anything done on the other? We live in a day now where you'll see some things close to that. But I would call that doing a job halfway. And have you ever seen anyone pull into the car wash and just wash the driver's side of the car? That's the only side they get in, it's the only side they see, so let's just wash half the car. Have you ever heard of anybody going in, getting an operation and having half of their appendix taken out? It doesn't happen, does it? And would anybody be happy if mom invited you over for dinner and she only put half the ingredients in the noodles? Wouldn't be good. And I'm sure you would agree that the end result of any of these scenarios would be worse than the beginning, or doing nothing at all would have been better. The point being, something done halfway can be more dangerous and is often worse than having done nothing at all. So today I'd like to look at the value of complete statements, complete facts, complete stories, completeness in general, against half-hearted efforts, half-truths, and getting only half the story, and the dangers that presents. So if we agree to the point that Jesus came and established his church while here on earth, if we've been observant at all, we must also agree that many other religious organizations have established churches with differing doctrines than what the Lord wanted for his church. So that means that there's potential that somebody might possibly have not read the whole story and only have a half-truth or an overextension of the original word. And in Revelation's 22nd chapter, we have a reminder of what the consequences of that is. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So it seems to me that this is a message to read the whole story, get all the facts, and not be content with hearing quotes and trying to get your salvation in order. So what's the danger of only making a half of a statement, or passing on half the story, or only doing a job halfway? What's the difference between a man that has taken on a criminal life and walk up to somebody and saying, I'm going to kill you, and a man that is cornered and is in the position of losing his life and his family's life and being forced to defend his family and possibly saying to an attacker that, you try to kill me, I'm going to defend my family. And so, in the eyes of the Lord, a man that's taken on a criminal life and tries to kill someone else is is going to have to answer for that. Where the condition, we have to take into consideration the condition of a man trying to save his own family's life would possibly be interpreted as being in a different situation. So what's the difference between believe on Jesus and be saved and reading Acts 2:38 where it says, when the crowd says, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, ye sinner, believe, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And taking a little bit more of the message from other verses, put off the old life and put on the new. For faith without works is dead, being alone. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So this is more of a complete message of what the Lord would expect of us. The devils, they have faith that there's a God. They know. Not even really faith. They know for a fact because they've experienced it. But they also tremble because they haven't followed his will. So it's very important that we recognize the difference between an incomplete spiritual sentence, which we had there at the beginning, believe on Jesus and be saved. There's more to the story than that. The second thing that we read there, beginning with Acts 2:38, is the way to salvation. Let's be fair. The scriptures tell us that works is not the thing that saves us. It is the grace of God in Ephesians 2nd chapter, verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 remind us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we have to get the whole story. Book of James points out an example to us in James 2nd chapter, verse 15, about a brother or sister being naked and hungry. And so it depends on how we respond to situations that we encounter, whether we are doing the Lord's will. If you see this person in need and you say, keep the faith, brother, it can't get much worse. If that's your response to seeing that brother in that situation, then I think that we have failed. The correct response we all know is to take our faith and put it into action and help people with a dilemma going on. The thing that most people never read could be a statement that's made in James, the 4th chapter, verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For Christians, this is what most sin probably ends up being in their lives after they become a Christian. Most of us, when we become committed to Christ, we don't steal, we don't take the Lord's name in vain, we don't kill. Those are sins of commission that the world takes on a daily basis. But the thing that we oftentimes forget in our lives as Christians are the sins of omission, the opportunity to do good, and failing to do good for others. That is where we can make an impact on the world and have the Lord say unto us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So is there anything worse than something being halfway done or halfway told? Let's say that I was a bridge builder, but I only built my bridge halfway across the river and I went ahead and opened that bridge. So you wouldn't like the end result, would you? Or what if I was a bridge builder and I really liked putting all this stuff together, but I hated taking the time to weld all those joints and put all the bolts in. So once the bridge got under load, you would go down. So that would be doing a job halfway. public would be better off never getting a bridge in the first place than to have something that would be a danger to them. When we think of our salvation and our relationship to God, it's critical that we get the whole story, that we understand what the Lord's desires is of us, that we live our life in completeness in trying to be a Christian and not doing a half-effort job in that regard. The scriptures kind of imply to us that it's better to tell a person nothing about Christianity than to only give them half the story and mislead them in what the Lord's will is. Wouldn't you agree that it's better to never start out on a trip than to only get halfway there, never reach your destination? If you made the decision to be a Christian, isn't it best to find out what the Lord's will is in being a Christian? If you work as a carpenter and you know that a derecho is coming tomorrow, you're probably not going to want to start on a building that you can't finish and only have it halfway done where it can't weather the storm. You'd rather never start on the house than to have it halfway constructed and then get a windstorm put upon it. Halfway constructed items are subject to fall, whether it be a building or a religion. No religion at all might be better than a half-hearted effort. The Lord told us in Revelations, He said He would rather us be cold or hot, that if we are only lukewarm in our efforts to serve Him, He will spew us out of His mouth. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. The Lord doesn't want a lukewarm effort. He wants a commitment. This is in Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, if you'd like to see it for yourself. Revelations 3, 15 and 16. Be dedicated to me or be gone. A half-effort religion is a lie. It's incomplete. God demands completeness. If a person has no religion in his life, he knows he is not serving God. But someday, hopefully, he can be changed. But a person that is only putting a half effort into religion and not learning the whole story, he thinks he's okay when he's really in danger. All we have to do is look at the Apostle Paul. He was halfway there before he was struck blind on Damascus. He had all the zeal, all the desire in the world to serve God. But he hadn't accepted the rest of the story of Jesus being his son. And until he did accept that, his half effort towards pleasing God was leading him to hell. The Lord had to strike him blind and reveal to him what the truth was and what was expected of him. And then he took his zeal along with the whole truth, the whole story, and lived a life for God. So what better example do we have than of Paul only being halfway there in pleasing God? No directions at all are better than misguided ones. Would you rather someone tell no story about you or one that was only half true, leaving a false impression upon someone about what kind of person you are? What about Christ and His story? Don't you think He wants the whole story told, that we can be diligent followers of His? If you were sick, who would you want to pray for you? The Pharisee In Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 10 through 14, we have an example of two men praying. The Pharisee was all full of himself, and thank God that he wasn't such as this publican next to him that was trying to pray. And the Pharisee made a half-hearted effort. Both men prayed, but only one man's prayer was pleasing to God. And the publican beat upon his chest, bowed down, saying, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner," and had humbled himself in the sight of the Lord instead of trying to uplift himself in the eyes of God. The story is in Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, I want to take time to read that one. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So don't think that you can figure out your own way to God. He's set forth a roadmap. We have to worship him wholeheartedly, or a half effort will not do. Another verse that I want to make sure we read is in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. This continues the warning that we've been talking about here. Talking about people that draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is why we must take all of the Bible and not just phrases to establish our relationship with God, to establish church doctrine on partial statements will end up being a half-truth. Let's see what happens when we take partial statements. I'm going to read off a list here of about six or seven verses. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Did you know that God said preaching was foolish? In 4:10, Paul called the apostles fools. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, faith is vain. Preaching is vain. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, Christians are miserable. In Galatians 1:6, there is another gospel. And in Hebrews 11:6, tells us it's impossible to please God. Now, I've just given you half the story, and you will end up with unacceptable results if you take what I just read as gospel, because it's only part of the story. You need to go back to each one of these verses I just read and read the rest of it. Hebrews 11:6, I said it was impossible to please God. Do you know what the rest of the story is? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God said preaching was foolishness in the eyes of the way men look at it, the way it's presented. So each one of these verses you need to go back and read to get the rest of the story. These verses I have mentioned were twisted in meaning by not completing what the writer put there. By leaving out part of the verse is changed. By leaving out some of the verses in the Bible and only reading part of the message is changed. We have to deliver the entire message of the scriptures to be pleasing to the Lord and the path that we choose. The Bible must be taken as a whole and studied in its entirety. I don't like stories about me that are half-truths. Christ doesn't either. The scriptures are there, stated maybe once, maybe a point is made 100 times in the course of the scriptures. But does it have to be repeated multiple times and for it to be the truth? No. I remember growing up, my dad made it very clear to me. He said, when I see you do something wrong, I'm going to tell you once, you better not do that again. If I have to come back the second time, there will be consequences. And that was the pattern my dad held. He told you once and made sure when he left that you understood what he said. And if he caught you doing it again, there were consequences. And so you knew you weren't going to get 4 or 5 times. Say, I told you not to do that. He never used that pattern. He made us understand at the beginning what the truth was and that there would be consequences if we were disobedient. And I tried to instill that in my own children when they were growing up, that they knew the rules, that they would be told once and educated once on what the way was. And if they violated it again, there would be consequences. Now, in that regards, in Mom's funeral, there was a portion there talking about my mom's hands. And as a child, I remember a time when I did something wrong and mom knew about it and she spanked me. And I thought, I'm going to show her it didn't hurt. And I didn't cry. Just, all right, we'll let Dad take care of it when he gets home. Dad took care of it. And from that point on, when Mom spanked me, I cried. Should God have to repeat himself to be effective? When he tells us, thou shalt not, shouldn't that be sufficient? Should he have to say it 100 times throughout the scriptures? Once should be enough. And when he tells us to do good and to others, that also should be adequate to tell us once. Help each other. Be an encouragement to each other. And how many of you knew that the Lord called repetitions in prayer vain? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 7, he tells us, I heard you the first time, and he criticized those that used vain repetitions in prayer, thinking that it would help them get their request. It was annoying to Jesus, and he made mention of that as he preached the gospel to the world. Develop a relationship with God in prayer. And have confidence that he heard you when you prayed. So why are we against just any religious belief that comes along? If it isn't the original, it is either a half-truth or an overextended one. And we just read in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verses 18 and 19, that you should not add or take away from the gospel that's given. So the word's out. If you haven't got anything complete to say about Jesus, if you can't tell the whole truth, Don't say anything at all. When you go upon the witness stand in the American courts, you have to promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So when you're trying to witness to others about Jesus, use the same approach. Tell them the truth. Tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I leave this message with you that you can work, develop your knowledge, that if you don't know the whole message when you try to talk to someone about Christ, be brave enough to ask somebody, it's your brethren, to help you and say, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I will get it. If you don't know how to answer the whole truth, you can find it and you can get back to them with what it is. We are brothers and sisters in a common cause to please the Lord. We can help each other accomplish that. You need to complete something in your life, your relationship. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you've been lacking that and you want to change course, we're going to have an invitation song. Any needs that you have, we could like to share our ability to help with you as we stand and sing.